What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are being joined all this week by great new guests that we have for you. Forensic scientist and distinguished scholar of applied forensics at Jacksonville State University. You've probably seen him on TV before. Joseph Scott Morgan is with us. We're discussing the Rex Huerman case. Let's talk about the home itself a bit. Just an observation that I made seeing the photos and everything. This very much looks like a hoarder house. Even after the FBI left, it wasn't just the remnants of FBI ripping through a home. Prior to it, it was a hoarder house. It's still a hoarder house. The FBI had to go into a hoarder house and rip through a hoarder house. What does that say to us about a personality like this and the likelihood of hoarding? And if there's this proclivity to kill people and bring some trophies back home, he had the 200 some guns. Is it likely that there is a lot of forensic evidence found in the home that would connect him to some of these crimes?
I think that, yeah, you have to explore that possibility, certainly, Tony. And I'm thinking back to my days, working cases, and you go into homes that are just horrible, absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. And you almost have a panic attack when you look around, you see all of this stuff, because the big question as a crime scene investigator you have to ask is, okay, out of all of the stuff in here, what's going to have value and what is not going to have value? Mm-hmm. If you've got stacks and stacks of family albums going back for 40 years, I don't know if that's going to have any value, but you have to consider that it might have value. Mm-hmm. So it is an overwhelming task, to say the least, when you get in there and you're trying to ferret out all the stuff that's in there. And then not just that, but the position of the stuff. If you've got mounds and mounds of clothes or boxes or something like that, well, if say you have a familial predisposition to hoarding things, let's say that as a family, this collective family lived in this house and they kept crap all of the time and they just stack it one on top. You have to create pathways through the house to get to the bathroom or go to the kitchen, go to the fridge or whatever. That's their normal state of living. Well, if this guy is such a super criminal, did he look around these areas and say, well, I'm going to hold some stuff back from these adventures, quote unquote, that I'm going out on. I'll just hide it under the stack. Nobody's ever going to pick up these clothes or these boxes. It'll never change. And I can sequester stuff in there and go back and take a look at it for, whenever I want to. That certainly is something that would have to be entertained by the investigator. So when you begin to think about the home as containing not just potential evidence, but it's not only does the House protect what he's potentially doing or has been accused of doing. Remember, they said famously just a few weeks ago, they think that one of the victims may have met their end in the House.
Yeah.
I'm never going to forget that. They actually said that. Well, what else is contained within the House and how did you arrive at that conclusion? Was it circumstantial timestamp or was it some kind of physical evidence that you may have recovered within the House that ties back to a particular victim? And it doesn't necessarily have to be DNA. It could be a piece of jewelry or anything else that has been squirreled away within that environment. It's a nightmare scenario to work with, but also it's kind of fascinating as well when you think about having to process a scene like this. And again, that brings me back for a brief moment to Fire Island. And I think about this poor young lady that for so many years had gone unidentified. And I want people to pay close attention to this. They found her dismembered lower body on Fire Island back in 96. Her skull was not recovered till 2010 in a completely different geographic location. So my question would be, is there any indication that perhaps that skull, the head, had been held back for a protracted period of time and then deposited out there after a number of years? Is that a possibility? You know, did the skull that they found, did it show all of the traits of weathering that you would expect it to have from an anthropological standpoint in that specific geographic location? Was it consistent with the patina that you would get from years of weathering out there to any of the mineral deposits that come along in that particular type, soil type? You know, if it's just sitting on top of the ground, any evidence of animal activity on that bone, or are there tool marks on that skull where someone would have taken, I don't know, any kind of instrument and taken soft tissue out of it in order to create it as a quote-unquote trophy? So I think that, again, is another question that has to be asked. All these other bodies that, you know, that have been dismembered that are not tied to him at this point, what elements are missing of those remains? And have any of those been squirreled away anywhere? And are there any other locations of deposition?
Was Rex particularly good at hiding forensic evidence when it really comes down to it, now that we see the bigger picture here, if in fact he is the killer in this case? Or was the people around him, his family, coworkers, whoever may have been somewhat close to him, not the greatest at observing the red flags and the possibilities of what may be lying beneath this Rex character, who we know did have a bit of a temper, and people weren't when you have someone like that, you don't necessarily want to confront them about any sort of odd behavior. You just want them to go away.
Right. And I think that all of us as human beings are, you know, look, we'll say that we don't like somebody or that they're, you know, they've got terrible, you know, interpersonal skills. All right. Let's be generous. All right. But that doesn't mean that your mind automatically flees to the idea that they might be a serial killer, let alone the one that's right in the, you know, the backyard of Gilgo Beach, you know, up in Massapequa. You know, that look, there's been a lot of hay made over the years relative to this case. There's been television series and all these sorts of things and news reports and all of this for years and years because people were sitting around scratching their heads. No one necessarily, I think, whether they have a familial connection or whether they are out on the periphery, are going to think that, yeah, this guy is a serial killer. I mean, look, let's face it. I'm not going to ask you to name names, Tony, but have you ever been around a friend? You know, you might see somebody, look at him and say, God, that guy looks like a serial killer.
Sure. Well,
it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a serial killer. It's just your perception at that point in time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think, is he capable of that?
Yeah.
Now, as to how well he may have masked any evidence there that is connected to these individuals that he's currently been tied to, it seems as though that there was a lot there. But my God, man, this thing, when this new task force took over, there was enough there that they went like blue blazes and started, you know, observing this guy.
Yeah.
They had enough data that had been packed away that they pretty much came to the conclusion early on that this is their target subject that they're going to go after. And by God, they went after.
Is there new technology, new forensic techniques that have evolved over the last 15 years or so since some of these crimes took place that has enabled them to do exactly what you just said, really go guns blazing at the person that they believe is behind these?
I think the biggest area, Tony, is going to be DNA. And what I mean by that is that we did not have the capability in, say, 2007 to do the things, say, the amplification of DNA that we do now in order to put a really fine point on it and begin to try to understand origin and also, you know, how degraded the sample was. Is there any way to go back in and try to salvage that degraded sample that you have? You know, that plays a big part in the hair samples that they recovered, which again is another super bizarre part of this when they're finding hair, you know, from the wife that's attached or connected in some way to these victims. The fact that it that those samples still remained after all of these years and is pretty amazing to me. And then they held on to it long enough where the science, you know, it kind of caught up with the hair, and it didn't, or the sample that they had, and they were able now to take a look at it from the perspective of, say, in the past where they would not have been able to.
Let me ask you this. Back at that point in time, before that technology existed, a lot of these samples were saved based on what they could do with it then. Is there anything that forensic science is looking at down the road, 10, 15 years, 20 years from now, once it's more developed, that we could look at crimes today and say, you know what? Save that. We're not going to get anything out of it right now, but if the technology moves far along enough, this could actually tell us something once it gets there.
Yeah. And I think as chilling as this is, I think that with as much trust as we're putting into software development and AI,
we'll say that
there's no telling how far the technology could expand just from a crime fighting standpoint. I'm not talking about anything else.
Yeah.
And the sensitivity of the equipment and knowing where to apply it and where not to apply it, because that's the most important thing. Because, you know, you get, let's see, what case was it recently? I can't remember. I'd covered it several times. They talked about you have to destroy the evidence in order to glean. Oh, I think it was the South Carolina case where, you know, there was the destruction of the evidence at the scene through testing, maybe it was, I can't recall, you know, led them to further be able to utilize that evidence, develop that evidence, and utilize it to the point where it could be presented in court. Those days will eventually disappear because you require such a smaller and smaller sample as we go along. That's going to be, you know, kind of fascinating to follow over the next few years. And also, I believe, actually, that our database is going to grow. Again, another chilling point here. From civil liberty standpoint, I think our database is probably going to grow as to the samples that we have from the general public. That's just my thought. You know, I think that whereas right now, you know, you're looking at like CODIS databases where you have to have somebody that's, you know, been previously involved in nefarious behavior, you go back in and check the CODIS database and you get a hit on it. I think that's probably going to expand eventually. I think that, you know, my friends in fingerprints are, you know, will, you know, their heads will turn red when I say this, but you know, the idea that I think that it'll probably come down eventually that they'll do a cheek swab and everybody gets hooked up on charges no matter what they are. And that's going to go into a centralized database as well. So that's just the nature. We never thought we'd be at this point, think that we're going to expand, that the government will expand that, and you'll have a much richer database as we move forward in time.
I've joked about this a little bit, but when it's Christmas or whatever holiday and somebody gives out the ancestry DNA kits or whatever to every member of their family, hey, let's learn about our lineage. And there's the weird uncle or cousin sitting off in the corner shaking. There's probably a good reason for it, because if everybody's submitting that DNA and there's some person that doesn't want it, it might not end well.
Yeah, yeah. They'll have a show at some point in time. Do you want to help solve a mystery? You know, and so it's going to come back to that. I can almost guarantee it. Some producers probably just stole that idea from it. But, you know, somebody out there will develop a show based upon that.
Probably. Exactly. Exactly. We thought Uncle Bernie was so nice. Turns out he killed 7 hookers in Los Angeles.
There you go.
In his
20s. There you go.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
We can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.